links in the chain, the more preeminent humanist interpreters.
Well, you mentioned Rudolf Serkin. Certainly.
What about present conductors on an international scale? What do you feel?
I don't know some of the so many of the big European conductors now. Mm-hmm. I think Leonard Bernstein certainly is. And I think to some extent Lauren. I think generally most musicians try. They're the super technicians such as Boulez, who are only concerned with the pitch and rhythm relationships. So when they do Beethoven, for me it's like reading, listening to them is like reading a page that has invisible ink.
Is it frustrating to play in an orchestra with a conductor like that?
For me it is, because I had the pleasure of, and the extremely moving experiences of playing with some of the great musicians who believe in music, you know, such as Reiner and De Sabata, Steinberg, and so many others to whom music has great personal meaning and which they attempt to convey. That, I guess that's a kind of romantic, you know, capital R notion, which is supposed to be anachronistic. But I don't believe that any of the arts exist just for themselves, except for the few extremely talented people who get totally bound up in it.
Could you tell me a little bit about, actually, about playing the flute, and perhaps not technique.
No.
That's not, but just in terms of the, as we're talking about, the humanist tradition and flute playing in particular.
Well, I was very lucky to have had very good teachers almost all of my life who descend from the tradition of a flute player in France in the middle, I should say the last third of the 19th century, by the name of Paul Tafanel, who, by the way, I'm told was Jewish, who found ways of playing flute with great ease so that the musician can get out of the way of himself and make music. You know, beautiful sound that carries through the air and enables the flute player to say what he wants to say. So in that I've been very lucky, and my last teacher, let's put it this way, my teacher at Juilliard was a pupil himself of Paul Tafanel at the Paris Conservatory. My last teacher, with whom I studied for many summers at Marlborough in Vermont, was Marcel Moyse, M-O-Y-S-E, who was one of the last pupils of Paul Tafanel. And he has designated me as his successor in teaching. I have a newspaper article, unfortunately, from the newspaper in his little natal village in eastern France, in which he says, Bernard Gobert is without a doubt my successor. And I try to play and to teach in that tradition, the so-called French school, which obviously is modified over the years. There are no recordings of Tapano. Many of his pupils, yes. T-A-F-F-A-N-E-L.
Okay.
T-A-F-F-A-N-E-L.
But how many students do you have?
I have no idea. I teach the maximum allowable by the administration organization in Brooklyn College, mm-hmm. of 9 hours, which includes some hours of chamber music. And I just found out that I'll probably be teaching 5 or 6 hours at Carnegie Mellon this year, and then I have some private students. One lovely little Korean girl who's nothing but a beginner, but she's so bright and so musical. She's such a pleasure. And then others who, some of whom are, I must say, are too intellectually inclined to go into a simple-minded craftsmanship like being a musician. I'll do other things, as will the Korean girl. She already knows how many years she's going to be in university till she becomes, I don't know, she wants to be a surgeon or something.
What, other than the symphony itself, what other musical groups are you involved with in Pittsburgh?
Well, now I'm not really playing with any organized group. I play a sort of a sonata team with my pianist in New York, Mitchell Vines. I can't figure out, and I don't think he knows himself, whether his family is Sephardic or not. V-I-N-E-S, but there was a very famous Spanish pianist by the name of Vignes, which is spelled the same except it has the curlicue on top of the N. But there's absolutely no relationship. But he's from Portland, you know, which is very heavily settled, Portland, Oregon, which is very heavily settled by Sephardic Jews. But I used to play, you know, in the Musica Viva trio for about 15 years with Harry Franklin and Theo Salzmann. And you might be amused to know that we made it a rule, no English at our rehearsals, only Yiddish.
Oh, my goodness.
Hmm.
And their main aim was to make so many jokes that I couldn't play. And both very, very witty, very charming.
Were they successful?
People. Yes, a lot of times I just broke up. I couldn't play. I'm just, you know, difficult to play flute while you're laughing.
I imagine that's a particular disadvantage with the flute as opposed to the violin.
Yeah. And we're concertized all over the country. We recorded. We played once at the YMHA. And unfortunately, it was a downpour, so nobody was there. We also played at the Pittsburgh Chamber Music Society. I miss it very badly, but, you know, times change. Poor Teddy is passed away about 3-4 years ago. Victim of the Anschluss. He was, had a precocious career in Vienna, and then came the Anschluss. He was principal cello for a while in the Palestine Symphony, and then went to Australia, and then eventually came here.
You mentioned recordings.
Yes, we recorded for Turnabout Records. And now, it's been in our recording has been in the catalog for many, many years, but now the company that bought the company for whom we recorded has gone bankrupt. So now I'm recording for the successor to that company called Pantheon Records, run by a man by the name of Mendelssohn.
How interesting. Any relation?
Yes. He claims to be a descendant of one of Felix Mendelssohn's sister. One of Felix Mendelssohn's sisters. Yeah, two sisters. By the way, you know that famous story. Put this in, but this Mendelssohn, when the long playing records came about, invented the notion of complete recordings of various things. So, you know, but they called it, he owned the Vox record company, the Vox box. And there were complete recordings of the Beethoven symphonies by Otto Klemperer. So the story, if that's true, that he and Mr. Mendelssohn and Klemperer were walking down 7th Avenue, there's a little record store on, I think, 53rd Street. They went in, Klemperer, who was about 20 feet tall and sounded, his voice sounded like it was from the bottom of a giant cave.
I want Beethoven Pastoral Symphony by Klemperer.
Yes, sir. The clerk ran and looked, came back, said, I'm sorry, we don't have it by Klemperer. At Toscanini, we have Sir Thomas Beecham, blah, blah, blah.
I want Klemperer.
What's wrong? They're not good enough for you? Toscanini's not good enough for you. Why do you insist upon Klemperer?
I'm Klemperer!
Wise guy, you know, New York clerk said, yeah, who's that, Beethoven?
No, that's Mendelssohn!
Anyway, mm-hmm. I've just done a few years ago, the Haydn flute quartets. He hasn't brought them out yet. His label is Pantheon. Mm-hmm. The new label.
Can you tell us what your favorite flute music is?
Bach. Johann Sebastian Bach. And Mozart, some passages in the great symphonies, Beethoven, some things that one can never play well enough. And in spite of the fact that Mahler never wrote any solo flute works, he wrote such great pieces, great passages, I should say, in his music. Oh, there's so much. Almost anything I happen to be playing. But there's lots that I don't like.
Like what? Like what, for instance?
Well, some contemporary music. And I found that a whole week of some of the shows when I at Civic Light Opera when I was playing was for me a redundancy. More than an ample sufficiency. Of playing some of the, because after all, the old shows from the 20s now were pretty simple-minded.
When did you play for the Opera?
Let's see, I don't know when I started there, 55 or something like that, 56. And then about 10, 12, 15 years, I don't know. As long as Kritz was conductor, after Carl Kritz left, I very much lost interest and was more interested in being up at the Marlborough Chamber Music, I think with my teacher Marcel Moïse and with Casals was there now and then, and Serkin, and that whole big bunch of wonderful artists. Most of them, I guess, of the Central European tradition.
What flutists do you admire as players?
Now?
Yeah.
Oh, well, the usual ones. Ron Powell and Galway and, you know, the whole, there's Nicolet, Nicolet, in Switzerland. obviously my teachers. Julius Baker is a very fine flute player. You know, I have to say, I guess to some extent, about communication in music. I'm a Levy, and although I'm not much of a synagogue goer, after I sang in choir in the synagogue when I was young, and for a while there was a question whether I would go on in flute or in voice if I stayed in music, or whether I would go into theater or into languages. But I like to imagine, and it's a total fantasy, that somewhere in before the destruction of the temple, that perhaps some of my forebears were musicians in the temple, and that flute playing is a calling for me. It's my vocation. Mm-hmm. You know, I earn my living at it. I'm lucky to do that, but making music is I feel, is a calling. And when I teach, I try to communicate my notion that, to use Casals' words, great music is the highest manifestation of the human spirit. Obviously, the theoretical physicist thinks his field is.
Don't be so sure.
And the playwright and so on. But for us, as musicians, and so I feel that I have a responsibility to the ink and paper. It's not only a human being's mind that put that down, but the spirit, the highest part of the human, of the nature, and therefore I don't like to play music that I think is less inspired. That's a funny word, inspiration. After all, a composer is also a professional. When he's paid to write, he writes.
Yes.
That doesn't mean that what he writes is less wonderful if he's a great composer. And I think of the thousands of years of music making in Jewish history. Even though I'm not a synagogue musician, I try to make of my music making, within the limits of my talent and my time, and sometimes the circumstances, a part of the spiritual life.
What would you say specifically that the role of being a Jew, religion, has had in your life?
Specifically, that's an interesting question. I don't know, in my first 6 months of playing or something like that, I was trying to learn the largo by Handel, which is all long notes, appropriate for And my father said to me, Bernard, don't you think that that should have some little twits and trills and things like that, like a chazen? Oh, you know, wise guy at the age of 12. Oh, in music like this, you can't do things like that. Now, you know, the musicologists are bending their brains to try to figure out just how the performers of Handel's time put in the little twists and trills and all the chazunish. So that's one of the specific. Well, more specifically, what can I say? I think it's a matter of spirit, you know, that of feeling that, say that the music expresses longing and so on. Yes. So when my mother used to sing little Jewish folk songs, and it was beautiful to listen to. I didn't have anything in my mind, little kid, but just the whole, what's the right word, melos, ethos, the whole atmosphere, you know, of that kind of soulfulness. Just as the black musician, you know, something very definite and distinctive. The blacks and the Jews share so much of persecution and being on, you know, outsiders. So we always have perhaps longing for otherworldly. And I think that there's a great deal of that enters into classical music.
You had mentioned, I guess, 2 times ago, as an aside, that the Jews in this city in particular were, in a sense, responsible for the continuation of the orchestra, that we were the backbone Jews of the musical tradition in the city.
I wouldn't say necessarily the backbone, but certainly they formed an important part.
Mm-hmm.
There were many people who took part in trying to get the thing revised, but you know, revived the orchestra went after it died. But you know, there's the famous photograph of the the conductor, Motorelli, and who was it, Bill Benswanger, and the manager, Eddie Spector, and I think a man by the name of Lehmann, being arrested for having a concert on Sunday. Of course, it was kind of a formal thing, so to dispense with the blue law, and watching is George Gershwin, who was, I think, soloist back there, the opening concert of the new Pittsburgh Symphony Orchestra. It's down at Heinz Hall. There's certainly the chamber music, you know, so many of the Middle European refugees helped keep the thing. Create a chamber music audience in Pittsburgh.
Perhaps let's jump a little to a slightly different topic and tell me about your hobbies.
There's not much to say. You know, I'm always out in the garden now, and I should be practicing because I have a recital coming on July 13th at Carnegie Mellon. But that's something that I shared with my mother. And as you can see, I love to read.
What kind of flowers do you enjoy?
Anything, everything. I think they're just wonderful. The minister said that plain grace at a meet, at some sort of a luncheon many, many years ago of the some musicians of the Pittsburgh Symphony and some board members, or I don't know what. But he was saying that walking to the, whatever it was that that thing was, looking at the spring flowers with their inadvertent hymns of praise. I think that's just beautiful.
Yeah.
And I think of that, of you know, when I look at my flowers, and sometimes when I'm grinding through scales and all the difficult, boring exercises to play flute, that they're necessary, just as the manure is necessary to make the beautiful flowers.
How long, well, I'll give you two questions. How long do you practice every day, and how long do you feel you should practice every day?
How long I practice every day, it depends upon my schedule.
Mm-hmm.
I try to do 1 hour, 2 hours at home by myself.
Mm-hmm.
I don't always get to do that, but that's my aim during the season. When on vacation, I try to build myself up to 4 hours a day, but usually I'm so out of shape I can't get into enough shape to get in to stay in shape. You know,
mm-hmm.
We run.
How about authors? What authors in particular do you enjoy reading? What types of books?
Well, yeah, I enjoy reading the great, you know, the classic novels that hopefully will give some insight, whether I agree or disagree, into the human condition.
Such as?
Oh, well, you know, the Balzac or something. Particularly interested in French literature.
Mm-hmm.
And then I read a lot of books on psychology and music history, because there's so much new being found out about what happened years ago.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned vacations.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have vacations where you go somewhere else other than working vacations?
Sometimes I go someplace else. Certainly, when my parents were alive, I went to St. Louis the day after the last concert. But this year I was going to go to San Francisco to visit a niece and nephew, my oldest nephew, and his sister. But I decided that I really have to find a place to sit down and get some books and music organized and cataloged, and work in the garden, so that when I come back from Pittsburgh Symphony summer season in up there in Mansfield, Massachusetts, that I have some fresh tomatoes waiting for me.
What foreign countries have interested you the most that you've been to with the symphony, or by yourself in your travels?
Well, of course, France. We have family there, and I've been a Francophile for a long, long time. And I can't say that I know England very, very well at all. Someday I have to go there. All of Europe, I find Japan extraordinarily interesting.
In what way?
Oh, the culture, the vitality of the people, and at the same time, the extreme politeness, kind of, except for the quite young, the kind of almost rigid, it seems excessive, but it does make such a compacted society. I mean, there's too many people on 1 square inch. It makes it work. It makes it possible for it to work. We have a lot to learn from them, besides how to produce cars faster and cheaper.
How do they respond to music?
Oh, they're crazy for classical music, for Western classical music, and especially nuts for the flute. They're just cuckoo about the flute. The biggest selling classical recording artist is Rompal flute. And in the buses, in the elevators, classical music, most of which is flute. My teacher Marcel Moïse said that he was, the last time he went to Japan to do master classes, he was working with some folks on the stage in a theater of 2,200 people, which was packed. He said suddenly he realized that all these 2,200 people were students, were registered students for his master classes.
Oh,
he said, in my old age, I became a choral conductor. Yeah.
Do you think it'll jump up this time, too?
Oh, we're what number? We're on
9:10. 4:50, it's got to be past it.
Because we didn't talk about the pictures.
Well, I have yet. If, I don't know, if you guys are indulgent, I have a feeling like about 5 to 10 more minutes,
all
and
right.
Then we'll be finished.
Okay.
So we should go on to another take. It's got to be over with.